Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
So,
you know that Willie Nelson song, that famous Willie Nelson song that begins, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys"?
Yeah.
I think we should be thinking, "Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to do blackface or redface or yellowface," because there's a whole lot of that in the news right now, and it's not a good look.
Neither is paleface. I don't know if you remember whiteface.
No, I've never seen a person of color dress up as a white person. And the only time I've seen that, if I remember correctly, is this very old movie that I think very few people within earshot will remember. It was sort of a satire. A black comedian, he wasn't old at that point, but long ago, named Godfrey Cambridge, did a sort of absurdist comedy called Watermelon Man.
Right.
Where he played a white man, a fairly bigoted white man, who got transformed in his sleep one morning and woke up and discovered he was black. So in order to be the white man that becomes what he really looks like,
yes,
he had white face on, which didn't convince anybody.
And by the way, white face performance originated in the 19th century.
Yeah.
So it's it just doesn't have the same, but it's either way.
And the freighted thing that all the colored faces do.
Yeah.
Colored with a small C. And I guess we saw a little of that. We did see a little of that with Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor, because he played, like, I don't know, seven characters with the aid of some truly amazing makeup and special effects and prosthetics. And one of them was a cranky old guy in a deli, a New Yorker, with a fedora and a big, broom handle mustache, who was fighting with a bunch of other cranky guys about how much worse things are now than they used to be. But I think people understood the context of that. I can't say that I really understand the context of appearing in contemporary blackface for a party. Although, as people on my team, which covers race and ethnicity, refer to it, Halloween is always Christmas for racism, because so many people decide that they need to show up and look like people they aren't. And that is the whole point of costumery, but there's an art to it, or at least an intelligence to it, that should be inherent to what you choose to become when you aren't being you. People can argue that kids do that all the time. It's really dumb. You see them, happens in college a lot. When the news will have examples of young white men who decided it was fun to dress up as what they call ghetto rappers, or what they call wild Indians, or, what they think Chinese drug lords look like. But there is an inherent arrogance to it, to the appropriation, that I don't think a lot of people think about, or if they think about it, they don't much care about it.
Yeah, it's something that should probably be updated culturally at this juncture.
Well, how do you update it?
You say,
besides not doing it.
That's how you update it. That's what I mean. What I'm looking at is the, who knows whether this is true or not, but it's at least cited. Blackface performance dates back to 1441.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it okay. It's just there are things that can't. You know, are you wearing a? This is not meant to be. You're not wearing pantaloons and a powdered wig to work, are you? Well, you're a woman, so you wouldn't be going to work. But
right. not at that time.
But the point is, certain things have been. Just even when the loom came out, and you could in the late 1700s, when you could wear not trousers but breeches that you know that were knit, so you weren't they weren't stiff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things do evolve is what I'm saying. And then mm-hmm. why would you not take advantage of the evolution? What I would be really curious about, this is tangential, because in my view, it's like, just don't do it. Stop doing it. It's not okay. If it was okay, that's a whole other debate. But at this juncture, it's so not okay. Don't.
And don't claim ignorance.
That you didn't.
You know, I didn't know it wasn't okay because nobody on my dorm floor said, oh, that's bad, man. You need to go back and change.
But I'm sorry. I have a whole problem. I've got a problem with that. But I want to ask a slightly different question, because you have mm-hmm. been delving into this for ages and ages, and you have actual contextual experience. So with that being said, I was having a conversation with a contemporary of mine who's in the performing arts. And I said, I am absolutely baffled. When I was growing up and when you were growing up, I said, were you not taught that people needed to be judged, you know, whatever, on their merits? I mean, did it ever occur to you that you were, that, and he stopped me and he said, oh no, not once. We were never told that, you know, the only thing that was a disqualification was intelligence. You know, it's like whether a person was smart, but it was never whether they were white or green or blue or purple. It's just, you were never better than someone because of color, ever. And I thought, well, you know, that's really interesting, because that's how I was brought up too. And I just, and I was not brought up in a jar. I there were a lot of people who were brought up this way. So I'm just really curious, what happened?
Well, I don't think necessarily people were taught per se, okay, Junior, you're no better than anybody else because of whatever. But I do think that they absorb certain things by osmosis. I remember someone telling me, who was on the board of a very prestigious university, one of the people who was a fellow trustee was the wife of the governor of the state in which that university was located. And when the first class of this new group of trustees was meeting sort of for orientation, she was sitting next to him there making small talk, and she turned and said, your parents must be so proud that you went to this school and that you're on, you know, this board now. I just can't imagine. And he looked at her and said, actually, my father went here. My grandfather went to Yale. So I don't think they're all that impressed. Now, the assumption that was obviously entrenched in that is, oh, this is your first experience, and this is so great, and so I want to praise you for being in this position. It was condescending. It was arrogant. It wasn't
horrible.
True. Was it, you know, rope-swinging Yahooism? No, but in some ways, that's damaging.
Right. And
so, you know, it's like I'm sort of taking exception to the guy who says, well, we weren't ever taught that we were better than anybody else because we were their color. It doesn't always work like that.
I'm thinking that it doesn't work like that at all. And that's why mm-hmm. I'm working. That's why I'm just curious, because it's almost, it's almost like one of my dogs having a conversation with me. Well, how was your day, dear? You know, I just it's so foreign to me that's just the automatic assumption is that, well, you're this and you're that and you're that, and therefore my brain doesn't work that way. Now, I realize that puts me at a massive disadvantage at a time like this, but you know, just in trying to understand what people are on about. But
well, some people don't see why it should be offensive. It's like it's just a
how can it you know, not be offensive?
Because they're saying, you know, I'm not dressing up like a hoodlum. Oh, sorry, that's the alert for the 7:30. They're saying I'm not dressing up as like a hoodlum. I'm not dressing up like a mammy, although some people do. I'm not dressing up like
a stereotype.
A guy who, you know, picks lettuce for $1.50 a day. I'm just being, you know, Mexican. I'm just being Vietnamese. I'm just being black. And it's like the just being part is the problem, son. You aren't. And so stop it. Now, some people will say, well, if you follow that all the way to its logical conclusion, that means Placido Domingo could never play Othello because it requires blackface. It's like, let's bring it into the 21st century. Maybe it doesn't need it. You know, I mean, all of this requires re-examination that not everybody's willing to make and not everybody gets. But what I would love everybody to think about is sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about how the people who look at you will perceive this and how that affects your relationships going forward.
Right. So how do you, any advice for, there are people who can grapple with it and where do you begin?
Well, you begin by not dressing up like something you aren't. I can see exceptions to that, that some people may disagree with. You know, if you studied in Samoa, lived with a Samoan family, and they gave you, you know, a nickname and said, come back because we miss you already, and this is, you know, our going away gift to you. This is what women your age wear in our culture, and we want you to have it and think of us and maybe wear it sometime. That's different because it's a gift, and that culture or those people from that culture have embraced you. It's not the same thing as browning up, sticking a bone through your nose, hoop earrings, and going in an afro wig and say, hey, I'm Samoan. It's not. you know, context is a lot, maybe almost everything. And just a little bit of thought ahead of time. And this isn't, by the way, just for white people, although I think more white people than anyone else have been reported doing this, but you know, you can be me, you can be black, and decide that you're going to go as a geisha to a costume party. You can put on the kimono and the big horsehair wig and the obi. I would never put on yellow face or porcelain face that the geishas wear because. So thought is one thing. I think if you're in the room when that happens, you know, when somebody comes in dressed as a 16th century blackamoor, maybe to say, what is this and how come you're dressed that way? And if you're offended, to say, you know, offended, sorry.
Thank you very much, Karen Grissy Bates. Do the right thing.
Putting on my own face and going to work.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
on the web, robinhoodradio.com. All right.